This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self here on Joy 94.9. Dean,
yes,
are you bored with your Saturday evenings?
Well, tell you what, last week, let's not go there.
Have you always felt that you weren't like everyone else but didn't know why?
Well, yes, yes, tick that box.
Are you ready for a new adventure?
Always.
Oh, God.
Well,
where's this going, Andrew?
Well, we found someone, some people.
Well, a couple
of people,
yes,
who might be able to help you out.
Fantastic. They are the proprietors and co-owners indeed of Splinter, Melbourne's newest BDSM venue for hire. Red and Heath, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now tell us what, just very high level, what is Splinter?
Why the name? I mean, it's got negative connotations from the outset.
Well, I think it came out of when we originally started up the idea, I was building woodwork furniture for... You know, BDSM
highly
furniture.
Polished, I'm sure.
Oh yes, highly polished. You know, I'm not big on receiving splinters myself.
So you got a couple in the making of the venue, no doubt.
Yeah, just a little bit.
What was the inspiration behind doing it? I mean, why go to all this trouble?
Well,
other than self indulgence.
I have been playing for the majority of my life.
Started young.
And, well, thank you. I've always been interested in education as well. And so since we got together, I think we started developing this idea of starting an education centre that would provide the community with the resources that they need so they don't kill each other while playing.
It's very important.
Very important. Yeah. And so this is how it was born, and it was named Splinter because of the... we started up having a few skill shares here and there at home, and then we moved to a Carlton temporary venue, and now we have our own.
Fantastic.
And this is how it all came about.
Yeah.
So Heath, can you describe the space for us?
And the setting up. What goes into making one of these venues?
Well, the first and most arduous part was, of course, finding the property. That was a year-long process of hunting around, looking at different commercial and industrial properties and...
Location being one of the key points? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely. And to begin with, our ideas of location were a little bit out of whack. We were sort of focused on trying to find something that was close to us rather than something close to the middle of the city. So,
sure. Yeah. Did it have to be light industrial or zoned something? Or
ideally, it had to be light industrial or as another... zoning, I think it's called general use.
But not next to the primary school.
Oh, God, no.
Right. No, just want that clear.
Yes.
And it was also very much about finding the right vibe in the space. There are a lot of places. I was doing an awful lot of property hunting, and there were so many places that would have fitted perfectly on paper, but you step into them and they're just wrong feel, wrong vibe.
So if I walked into the front through the front doors, what would I encounter?
Well, the entryway, it's about trying to find a mix of comfort, friendliness, and at the same time that sort of rough and industrial feel.
I imagine it's a mix of trying to be welcoming but mysterious at the same time.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Not easy to achieve.
When you enter the venue, the first thing, well, you go through the foyer and then the first thing you see is this huge space. with very high ceiling and suspension points coming off it, and there are...
Sounds like the National Institute of Surface Art.
Well, it is basically just a big warehouse space, you know, brick concrete floor and steel beams.
And lots and lots of equipment around the room, equipment that Heath built. And then if you go to the left, there are two stories of rooms, and each room has their own theme. So we have a medical play area, needle play area, then we go upstairs and we have a chill out lounge, and we have the leather lounge, which is a home to the leather spirit, which is the only leather club in Melbourne.
The only fixed location. There's a number of other leather groups.
Oh, absolutely. But physical location, the only one. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you mentioned some equipment that you've built from scratch.
Yeah.
So what sort of things have you got?
Well, there's the usual idea of having spanking benches and St. Andrew's crosses. You'd probably be familiar with the sort of the big cross.
Yep.
Like
diagonal
a noughts and crosses cross. Yep.
Yes, like those who have been watching Game of Thrones will be familiar with.
Yes, yes. Should I play that theme again? is your expertise in carpentry, or what's your background?
My background is actually hospitality, customer service, business management.
Great with a saw.
yeah, really good. Pretty much all of the carpentry skills were self-taught.
And did you go from imagery that you wanted to replicate, or because there's a kind of look to this stuff, isn't there?
There is, but...
I saw a porn recently that had fluoro trim on all of the leather stuff. And I went, what the hell is that? What is that?
No,
it didn't work for me either.
Fluoro leather.
No.
Oh, God, yes. It's the sort of look that I try to get is I see a lot of even the wooden furniture that's made is, you know, people will just sort of make it and then paint it black because it's dungeon equipment. And I like the idea of wood finishes, natural finish on timber. And so that's the sort of look I try to go with on a lot of my stuff.
And are they, and this is important, resin lacquered, or are they waxed, or are they what's the finish on this?
It's all about...
I'm thinking of splinters, Andrew.
Yes. it's all about what's requested. Quite a few of the ones which I do are, you know, by request, custom orders.
So this is more than just a hobby. This is... you're keeping you busy.
Yeah, pretty much you could say that.
All right.
Yeah.
How many homes in Melbourne have got this equipment? Well, the mind boggles.
Yes, the mind does boggle.
But the good part is you don't need to go out and buy it, Andrew, because you can go to the venue.
You can go there and test it out.
Now, you mentioned, Red, the importance of education in this space, and you also mentioned needle play, and that's a very particular fetish, and there is an art to that, as there is many fetish realms. From what basis do you start your education? Is it from a health and safety framework up, or is it from a pleasure framework up? How do you go about educating people?
So every week we have 1, 2, 3 skill shares on various topics. Every topic, so they are divided into 2 major groups. One of them is mindset, and the other one is practical things. So when we talk about something practical like needles, we include everything in it, starting from the safety, proceeding to how to actually do it, then the practice, and then we actually discuss the mental, emotional, whatever not, state of the players, both of them top and bottom. And so every topic would cover all of them. Skill shares go for 2 hours, usually presented by people who are very experienced in the field as well as education. I sit with them and interview them. And
I imagine you have
and
beginners and intermediate.
Absolutely.
And all of that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
And so what are the first ones you've been running? What are the key themes that you've been looking at?
So I've been running workshops on power exchange. So anything from service, the way to provide it well and how to land it, to how to choose a mentor. If you are a beginning dominant, you probably need one. And from the practical thing to the side of things, I've been running flogging. We have a fantastic flogger in our family who presents most of them. I've been running fisting, both vaginal, anal, and that kind of thing.
Yes.
That's my forte.
The rope as well.
Bondage. Of course. How could I have forgotten? I am primarily a rope top, but now I am venturing.
So is it a case, now we hear that BDSM play has become more common, in inverted commas. Are you finding that, that people are more interested, I guess is probably a better phrase, term of phrase, people are more interested to learn more?
Yeah, and I think that's something which you start to see with particularly going to a lot of the public events that tend to happen. You'll have people will be doing play. New people who haven't seen it before will take interest. They'll have heard about things. They'll be looking at things. And it's always always starts out with a question. You know, there'll be a question that may seem fairly superfluous or erroneous, and after that an experienced person will fill them in on all the information that they need, encourage education. And it's quite interesting. I've gone on a few, you know, private chat channels for a while, and there's a lot of people on there who, as soon as I mention that, you know, we do kink, they will start, you know, just bombing me with questions.
Well, I would like to hear some of those superfluous, erroneous questions from our listeners. So you can get in touch with us and we can pose some of those questions to both Red and Heath. They are the proprietors of Splinter, Melbourne's newest BDSM venue for hire, and information as well.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self, and we are exploring the Splinter BDSM play space that started up quite recently here in Melbourne.
Our guests, Red and Heath, are co-owners. It's their passion, both in the bedroom and now in business as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned fucking with the mind earlier. I want to know what this no fuck policy is at the venue for BDSM.
So,
I mean, that just goes against everything.
Precisely.
Well, there's something wrong with the business model. Or is there?
I don't think that there is a connection between actual...
Whoa, now you're going to get me.
Oh, no. I don't believe that there is a connection between actual sex, as in stimulation of sexual organs, and BDSM. I do believe they are connected in...
Red, is fisting sex or not?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it is for the bottom, not for me. if I...
Red.
Yes.
You're talking to someone who knows their shit on this subject. So let's get serious.
I think I do know my shit on the subject.
It takes two people to have sex. Is fisting sex or not?
This question was actually discussed before the first event. What I wanted to do is I have a slave girl.
Yep.
I wanted to put her up and in suspend and fist her in the air, right? People around me told me that that will be a sexual activity and therefore not allowed in a non-sex venue. So I refrained. Therefore, I take the point that it might be considered sexual act. For me, it isn't, because I remain fully clothed and at all times, and it just doesn't, yeah, anyway.
I think it's a case of what constitutes a sex act has both subjective and objective points. The objective point being mostly based around legality, and subjective being around this sort of situation, you know.
Is it due to regulations around it being an unlicensed venue for sex on premises? And that is yep. right. Is that something that you are looking to retrofit, or is it just not going to happen?
That's still very much up in the air. We're not sure about that.
We would like to. But we don't like our chances. Does right. that yeah. answer
yeah.
your question?
Yeah, right.
yeah.
totally.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, yeah. sure.
We would like to.
But yeah, but what you're saying is BDSM is embraces a whole range of things, and so you're not wanting to encourage, I guess, people that just to go there just to fuck.
Precisely.
Yep. In a room.
It yep. bores me to tears. Okay, so most of the people who go out to venues like ours and participate in play like ours and want to learn more and more actually want to increase the capacity of our brain for pleasure instead of just
rubbing
their yeah. genitals together. For me, at the moment, that bit is even has become even semi-relevant in play. Play sort of satisfies all the needs that exist, sort of.
I tend to see it as BDSM is, you know, encompasses all these different forms of play, and I see it as various sexual acts are other kinks, they are other forms of play, and they're just forms of play that we're not, for technical reasons, able to accommodate. I mean, there's some venues where you can't do certain things like rope suspension because they don't have suspension points.
Or blood play.
Or blood play.
In most of the venues, you can't do blood play. In our venue, you can do it freely.
Well, I think we should put a few caveats on that.
Okay.
Not the least of which, the hygiene necessity to engage in such practices.
Absolutely.
And the various equipment that is associated with that.
Absolutely.
What you're saying is you have those facilities available.
We do.
Yeah, right. We do.
Now, you were saying people of any sexual identity and any gender identity are welcome.
I'm
guessing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Which goes some point to us answering this question from one of our listeners who's messaged through on air at joy.org.au. What's the mix of men, women, gay, straight, trans, bi? And if I was one of those, insert trans here, would I feel uncomfortable?
So if we start from trans... I personally offered to escort everybody from the parking lot who is uncomfortable being seen in the beginning of their journey.
I don't think it's
that
so much about walking through the front door. I think it's more about the other people that are there inside the venue.
Can I just take that? I understand the question now, I think. In the community at large, and especially at our venue, Skillshares parties and all the rest of it, gender and gender identity are almost irrelevant for the play. Mm. So, therefore, all of them are welcome because play is play.
It's not so much that, I think.
I just want to hang on. I've got to say something here.
Shoot.
Someone's sexuality is not irrelevant to the play that they want to engage in.
Bingo.
And it's very relevant to particular people in the environment that they wish to play in.
Absolutely.
Regardless of their sexuality, because it's about who they're with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not dismiss the individual elements of our communities and their importance.
I agree. I agree.
The fact that you offer a facility that is open to all... doesn't go to addressing the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As a gay man, would I feel comfortable in your venue surrounded by women who are beating the shit out of each other?
I've got this. It's
please.
Okay. Okay. Please. So one of the things which I've noticed at a lot of events previously over the last few years since I've been in the community is there are occasionally people who are uncomfortable with certain elements of play that are happening around them. I have yet to see any of those that involve people being uncomfortable or distressed with the gender or the sexual identities of those involved. It always seems to revolve around the intensity of the play, you know, extreme violence or extremes of blood or, you know, certain people's certain sensitivities to certain subjects. But gender is not something I've ever seen an issue with. I think back to just our last event, last weekend. I can think of, straight off the top of my head, at least half a dozen trans people who are there. I can think of the majority of people being bisexual. I think occasionally there were a few, amongst them there were a few straight people, a large number of gay and lesbian people. It's the diversity inside the BDSM community, I think, far outstrips that which I've seen previously in other communities. Prior to coming into the kink scene, I spent sort of 10 years in and out of the swingers communities, and the discrimination there is something that you just haven't seen. Haven't seen it at all.
That's a good answer to that question.
Very good.
Dare I reference it? The 50 Shades of Grey effect. and it let's just now not mention it again. But there is, I guess, it's in the now in the public domain, right? Mm-hmm. To varying degrees of extent. What effect has that had on the community, other than some annoyance, I'm sure? but has it brought forward people? Has it given people the permission to step forward that previously they didn't have, perhaps?
I'm
not sure.
It's sort of kind of hard. Oh, God.
But we did have a lot of new people last few events.
I mean, it's certainly in the porn industry, from a retail perspective, had an impact. You know, all of a sudden, things that hadn't sold for 25 years were moving like hotcakes for no particular reason. So, you know, it did have an effect in that regard. Mm. But and I think it also gave permission to walk through the front door,
yeah,
which they may not have otherwise done.
Mm. I think it's been sort of kind of difficult for some. I know with ourselves being so much of our life, you know, we don't really have much in the way of a vanilla life ourselves, vanilla being non-kink, non-BDSM.
Oh, we're familiar with the term.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that go on with, you know, within vanilla community that we just don't hear of or understand. so with new people coming into kink, I think it's a case of we're always seeing new people and sometimes it fluctuates, and I don't think that I haven't noticed a difference myself. Mm. I haven't noticed a difference in numbers. I have noticed a difference in vanilla people who are prepared to talk about it and who are coming to terms and coming to comfort with it.
And coming to learn. Melbourne's always had an underground kink scene that has just sort of bubbled along nicely, and it's sort of gone somewhat unnoticed. Does having a venue like this bring it further to the fore? Does it make it more normalised or more acceptable? Or?
Well, I think so, because with this venue we went with full disclosure. So we told everything.
Has there been any backlash from residents or anything
so
like
far,
that?
So far,
no?
So good.
No, that was one of the things that was quite surprising, is even in our dealings with the local councils, they were like, yeah, no problems, that's fine.
Soundproofing additional or?
Well, we ended up doing it because of the sun that was coming through the windows, but it wasn't. We are not very close to residential.
Yeah. It's made a little easier by there's sort of us a big car park and then the train line, so we don't have to worry too much about
noise. You've got to be a real screamer to get that far.
And the soundproofing that we put up because of heat anyway just sort of made things... Yeah, you go out to the car park, you can't hear anything anyway.
We don't really want to tell people not to scream.
Scream away.
If you have got a question about the Splinter play space, let us know. 0427JOY949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
More whip cracking right after this.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Stevenson-Connolly, and you're listening to Hide and Seek, the only program about sex, sexuality and self on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck is banging his drum on Hide and Seek. Andrew the Apprentice is doing something. It's not banging, but it's something.
Something.
And we're with Red and Heath, our co-owners of Splinter, Melbourne's newest BDSM venue.
Now, Heath, you were just explaining off-air that on Saturday evenings across the month, you have two different types of events happening. Can you just give us a brief rundown of the two different types of events?
Well, the first one being Play Space, which is a lot like, you know, the normal BDSM events that happen around Melbourne through the month. You know, people are welcome to come in. There's sort of, you know, cover charge at the door, come in, play. There's equipment there you can use. You can spend time socialising, relaxing, etc. It's just like a club, only with...
Less dance floor.
More screaming.
But then you have another night.
Yes, the other night is The Cell, which is, again, it's same sort of concept of a club, but when during the year or so that we were doing development, we heard from a lot of heavier players within the BDSM community who... didn't like playing necessarily at normal events, either in some cases it was because they, you know, felt like they were being pressured into educating others and constantly answering questions, or in some cases there wasn't the right equipment or the right space for doing the sort of play that they wanted. Quite a few things like heavy blood play or hooking and things like that. And so we thought we would start up this other event, which is The Cell. And the idea is it's aimed specifically at heavier, hardcore players.
It's a bit more the exclusive club.
Yeah.
In some ways.
In some ways, yeah. We actually had a few problems with that during the... first few weeks, because the way that we set it up is we run on a door list only entry
For that particular event.
For that particular event. The other event is free for all, no problems. But for The Cell, it is a door list only. And to get onto that list, we originally had the idea of, if you're interested in coming along, just send us two referees that we know and we'll speak to them. And that really didn't get what we're after. What we wanted was we wanted to be able to know these people, to know what sort of person they were, what sort of vibe they were after. And
very important for something like that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And so is that based on a questionnaire, fill out a form type thing? Or?
Well, now what we have is myself and Master D, who is... one of the other main members of our business. He sort of runs a lot of the leather aspect. He runs Leather Spirit. He and I have been conducting, I guess you could say, just brief interviews with those who are interested in coming. We ask them a
few
questions.
On the night sort of thing?
No, before the night.
Right.
As usual, sometimes by email, sometimes in person, and just trying to get a feel for them.
We've had a message in on 0427JOY949 asking, what is the most extreme type of play like you would likely see at the cell party?
Oh, at the cell party.
So this is the exclusive party, that one.
I think it depends on what you would consider extreme.
Scat?
Oh, God.
No.
If someone wanted to do that, they could, but I have yet to actually meet in person anyone who's into scat, I think.
Yeah.
But so you were saying you've got your medical room and your blood play room, so that would be...
Yeah.
Depending on how you'd find it, exactly.
Well, nailing, I guess, putting skewers through breasts.
Skewers through genitals and soft bits, nails.
Oh, roofy nails. What I did, the pulling off the scrotum and suspending it.
Heavy play. Heavy CBT. Yeah.
Heavy CBT that, stuff.
For me, that's pretty extra. CBT is not my thing.
No, me neither. that aside, are you planning on having gender or sexuality specific events, special events in your space?
We hadn't planned any as yet, but we'd sort of thought about having things like that. For a while, we were looking to host a couple of gender-specific social nights, sort of meeting nights, etc. We're still sort of
cheese and bickies,
coffee, yeah, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And special event things on the horizon. Have you got like once every 3 months an event, or once every 12 months an event that you want to work towards?
You've got a pretty busy calendar. I mean, you've got something on every Saturday night, don't you? So
I think it's something that we would like to, but
we haven't.
It's still very early days, I think.
Sure.
We're going to be trying to work towards having things happening during September, October, to coincide with the Oz Kink Fest.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But at this stage, we haven't planned much further than that.
And you've only opened late in Feb, so it's very new.
Yeah.
It's great to see that the community is being serviced in such a way that there are these events where people can engage in safe play that's equipped well and run well. And congratulations on opening up Splinter.
Cheers.
Yeah. So Splinter Cell Designs...
Rough idea where it is?
.com.au.
The venue is in Brunswick. Right. We're just off Sydney Road.
Okay. So if you go to the website splintercelldesigns.com.au, you can find out heaps of information about the venue and also the skill shares. Heath and Reed, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I've been informed and educated.
Yes.
we'll say goodbye shortly.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.